We're learning the first chapter in Perkei Avos, Mishnah Yud Aleph. The Mishnah begins by reciting the words of Avtalion. Avtalion Omer, Avtalion says, Chachamim, scholars, Hizharu b'divreichem, be cautious with your words. Shema tachuvu chovas golos, v'siglo mokum mayim haroyim. For you may incur the penalty of exile and be banished to a place of evil waters. V'yishtu atalmidim haboyim achareichem v'yamusu v'nimseshim shemayim mischalel. The disciples who follow you there may drink and die, and consequently, the name of heaven will be desecrated. As we mentioned previously, Avtalion was one of the Zugot pairs, sharing this very strong, powerful responsibility with Shemaya. Shemaya, as we mentioned, was the Nasi, the president, and Avtalion, the Avbestin, the second in command. Avtalion, as we mentioned also in last Mishnah, in Mishnah Yud, the word Avtalion means he was an Av, the father, for Talion, for Ketanim, for children who are Yisomim, who are orphans that did not have parents. This shows the greatness of an individual who had a position of power, that although he himself, you would think, would be only interacting with very powerful people and not wasting his time with people who have no major pull or influence in society, he was an Av Talion. His focus was on the children, on those that had less than he had. What does it mean that a person should be careful with their own words? Says the Chassid Yaivitz that you yourself should be careful. You must be careful involving yourself in certain philosophies with other religions. Because although on the surface, perhaps you're going to a university, a college, where you want to explore and you want to learn new things, there's certainly nothing wrong with opening up your mind. But sometimes a person's mind is so open that their brains fall out. This is the unfortunate reality, that when a child or an uneducated person experiences different philosophies and other religions without having a very strong foundation of themselves, who they are, it's very possible that they will end up drinking mayim royim, very poisonous, bad waters, and things which they will not be able to explain. In fact, when I was in Bangor, Maine, I was a professor at a university at Huston College, and I primarily taught in the School of Business. However, I also taught in other courses as well. And I went up to the dean and I said, you know, I happen to be a rabbi. I said, of course I know that. I said, perhaps maybe I can teach a comparative religion course at your school. And because it's a business, like all schools, he said, of course. However, you have to have a certain amount of kids, a certain amount of students, or else it's not worth our while to pay you as an adjunct professor. Well, there my name was on the board in the book for the upcoming academic year. And I went up a couple days before the class was scheduled to begin, and I found out how many people signed up for this course. Yeah, zero. Not a single person was interested in taking this class. And I thought to myself, after being a little bit frustrated at first, how fortunate I was. Because obviously I know a lot about my own Jewish heritage, and also a little bit about other religions. However, Avtalion is telling us that we have to be very careful, because if we expose ourselves to things which perhaps we're not ready for, it's like drinking mayim haroyim. It's like drinking poisonous waters. In fact, one of the greatest of sages, one of the greatest Talmidei Chachamim, which we learn about in our Gemara and the Talmud, is Rab Meir. And Rab Meir's Rebbe, his teacher, was named Acher, the other one. Because although he was someone who was almost on the level of Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva remained in shalom and peace with his learning. Acher, unfortunately, went off the derech. But Rav Meir wanted to continue to learn and learn and learn from his great teacher, from Elisha, from the person by the name of Acher. And they turned to Rav Meir and they said, "How can you do such a thing? He's probably teaching you apikorsis. He's teaching you things which are anti-Torah. How could you listen to the words that he says?" Said Rav Meir, "Because I look at his words just like a fruit, like a cherry, if we will. That when it comes to eating a cherry, you eat the fruit and you spit out the pit. It's the same thing. I listen to all of his words and I take that which is peros, that which is meaningful, which is MS, and I spit out the psoilas, that which is not of Torah value, which is meaningless. However, on this, some people criticize Rav Meir, and certainly we are not on that level. To be able to differentiate, to distinguish between the fruit and the pit. And therefore, says Avtalion, his horror b'divreichem, you have to be very careful with your what you expose yourselves to, not to listen to things which could give you a negative impression about Torah and Judaism." The Bartanura explains this and says on the words Shema Techuva Chuvas Golos, perhaps they'll be led to an exile. Says the Bartanura Kolomer, that is to say, Afal pi shibamokum shatem bo ein sham minim, even though the place where you currently are, there are no people that are against Torah philosophy. And therefore, you can look at your audience and say, what's the difference? I can say whatever I want. These are people that listen. These are Torah-observant people. Says the Bartanura, Yeshlochu Shema Yigram Achet, perhaps a sin may come, but Tischaivu Golos, perhaps an exile can come through your words. The Siglo Makam Sheshama Nashim Shimarayim Panim Matara Shlokalacha. And perhaps it will go to a different place, to a place where the people do not follow Torah, people that do not observe the halachos. Behem kinoi, those people, is a slang for mayim royim, for bad waters. It's considered like a black sheep. The avinu mitoch divreichem divarim shenim hagonim, people end up understanding and learning from them things which are improper. V'yishdu atalmidim haboim achreichem, and your students will come afterwards, and you will listen to these words of divrei minus, v'yamusu b'avoinu, and they'll end up being punished because of listening to these words. It's interesting that the concern is not you yourself. The concern is the talmidim, person's students. It's brought down in the Gemara in Brachos and Daf Chav Ches, the story of the great Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was on his deathbed, and he was sitting there, as a tzaddik probably does moments before his death, saying vidui, saying the Shema, confessing whatever error he possibly could have done. In walks his talmidim, and the Gemara says he began to cry. His student said, "Why are you crying?" So Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai answers the famous answer, said, "If I would be going to a court in front of a king of flesh and blood who is here today and gone tomorrow, I would cry and be petrified of my own life. But I'm standing in front of the King of Kings, Melech Malchei Hamlochim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's Chai, Kai, V'Kayom. He's someone who's alive. He exists forever and ever. So certainly I should cry. But still, you can ask the question, if I, myself, realized that I was standing in front of Melech, Malchim, and Lochim in a few moments at my 120th birthday, I certainly would cry, because I made thousands of mistakes throughout my life. Rav Yochanan Zakkai, what did he do wrong? How is this an answer? Why is he crying? So if we read the Gemara doesn't say that he was crying until his students came. Why? If it was something that he did wrong, if he made a mistake, he should have been crying if they didn't show up. But they only saw him cry, beginning to cry, when he saw his students. Says the Mefarshim, the reason for this is because Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai knew that he was a tzaddik. He knew he was a perfect man. And he knew he was destined l'chayolam haba in Gan Eden in heaven. However, when he saw his students, he began to cry. Because he thought, maybe, just maybe, I might have said something. And the words that came out of my mouth might have been misconstrued. I might have said something with a different meaning. And perhaps I said something which they thought was a certain way, which is against halacha. And this would end up remaining for all future generations, that people will be violating the Torah because of something which I said. And on this, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, for this, certainly I have reason to cry. How careful we, the Chachamim, have to be, and any person who walks around publicizing that they are Jewish, those who wear kippah, women who dress besnius, a person does not know the difference between a rabbi and a baal bas. A person with a kippah in your office, that's the office rabbi. And therefore what you do will not just be your actions, and you'll be accountable for your actions of what you do right and do wrong, but people are watching you, and people are going to see what you do, and they're going to think what you're doing is proper, and they will do the same thing. So God forbid that you should be doing something which could cause chovas golos and cause people to be drinking mayim haroyim. How careful does a person need to be? The Gemara in Brachos discusses a famous dispute between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel with regard to the reciting of the Shema. According to the opinion of Beis Shammai, because the Pasuk says in the morning of Kumecha, you should stand when you say the Shema. However, according to Beis Hillel, he says, you can say the Shema in any way. You could also be standing. However, you don't have to. You could be sitting. That's also fine to say the Shema in the morning. The Gemara talks about a situation where you had a person, the rabbi was standing, and his Talmud, his student, was sitting down. It came time to say the Shema, and his student immediately stood up right before the Shema, apparently holding like the words of Beis Shammai. So the second the student stood up, the teacher sat down, and the student said, Rebbe, I don't understand. You're playing some type of game. I was sitting down, and I saw you standing, so I thought maybe I should stand, so I stood up. And then the second I stand up, you're sitting down, like, what? I can't do anything right over here. So he said, I'll explain to you. He said, the halach, in fact, is you could be standing and say the Shema. However, if you were already sitting down, and then you stand up deliberately, right before the Shema, it looks like you're 100% holding like Beis Shammai, which we do not hold like. So he said, okay, that's fine, but Rebbe, you were always standing. You didn't do anything wrong. He said, you're right. However, the problem is, people will see you sitting and then standing up, and then davening, saying the Shema right next to me, and I will not protest. I will just remain standing. People will think that the halacha is like Beis Shammai, and therefore I will end up causing that the halacha will be mistaught for many, many future generations. And therefore for that, I want to be extra careful. And I sat down so that no one should think that this mistake was. It's brought down in the Panini Avos. What does it mean in the Pasuk at the end of Ecclesiastes in Koheles, Sov Devar Kol Nishma? What's the very end matter of the thing? As Elokim Yarevi Es Mitzvosa Shamor. a person should fear Hashem, and a person should adhere to and listen to the mitzvahs. What does this mean? So it's brought down by the Medrash Shmuel that what does this mean? That Chachamim hizhar b'divreicha, and be careful with your words. The Medrash Shmuel tells us that a Chacham, a teacher, is a role model. A parent is a role model. And it's not enough to say, do as I say, not as I do. Rather, the Medrash Shmuel tells us that you have to be careful. He's harub b'divreichem. Be careful with your words, because you have to do exactly what you say. The Torah does not want someone to be a hypocrite. We don't want you to be hypocritical by doing one thing and saying another. So therefore, the Medrash Shmuel tells us, if you want your children to follow you, if you want your children to listen to what you have to say, hizhar b'divreichem, be careful with what you say, and make sure that you also do what you say. So as we've given the example before, a parent who's watching a movie with his wife, with his spouse, and perhaps it's a little off color, and the child walks in, wants to watch it with the parent, says, no, I want you to close your eyes for this part. What does that mean? You shouldn't watch it, but I can? Okay, I'm older, I'm an adult, and you're a kid. But if it's wrong, it should be wrong. So says the Medrash Shmuel, if you really want to teach your child, or teach your Talmidim, the proper ways to behave, you have to also be careful with what you say. And make sure that you do what you say. Because otherwise they will not listen to who you are. This, the Panini Avos says that this is what the Pasuk means in Ecclesiastes. Sov Tavar Kol Nishma. If you want to know the bottom line, how will it be that a Kol Nishma, that everyone will listen to what you have to say, people will take ear, listen, that your words have meaning, and that they're going to actually follow your advice? If you're a person that fears God and adheres to the mitzvos, and you in your own actions, in your own practice, follow the Torah, then hakol nishma, then everyone will listen, everyone will follow your words. But Avtalion says that the key is hizhar b'divreichem. Be very careful with what you say. Because otherwise you're going to cause that child, your student, to be very bitter about Torah. How come he gets to do it but I can't? And you are going to create mayim haroyim. Bad, evil waters. There was once a movie by a neighbor of mine when I lived in Bangor. I lived about a mile away from a famous author. And this author has a very interesting home where his gates are little statues of bats on the very top of them. This I'm referring to as Stephen King. And Stephen King had a movie called Dreamcatchers. And basically it's about aliens, like a lot of his movies are about, in Maine. And one of the things that these aliens wanted to do was, of course, destroy the whole world. Now, how was he going to do this? He wanted to go into a reservoir where many people would drink water and put something extremely poisonous, something extremely contagious, and then everyone would drink this water and they would all die. And when I was watching this movie, I thought to myself, hey, this sounds like the Mishnah of Avtalion. Because what is the significance of Mayim Royim? When it comes to evil or bad waters, it's not just that you drink it, but it's something which could go throughout the entire world. It can spread like wildfire and kill and destroy an entire nation. And therefore, this is the analogy, appropriately, as Stephen King said himself in his movie of Mayim Royim, that evil waters have the ability to cause tremendous damage awful fast. In fact, this perhaps could explain a Gemara in Psochim. The Gemara in Psochim on Daf Gimel tells us, who's worse? A Talmud Chacham with no das, a scholar who doesn't know how to act properly, doesn't think right, or a smelly, disgusting carcass rotting in the street. Says the Gemara, a Talmud Chacham with no das is even worse than a smelly nevela. Why? What does that mean? What's the comparison, and why is the Talmud Chacham with no das worse? Because if you look at a nevela, you find roadkill on I-95, and you would go right up to it and put your nose right up to it, it smells disgusting, it's rotting. Stay far away from it. It carries disease. That's only because you're a couple feet away. However, if you're driving your car, 10 seconds later, you don't even remember that it's there, and certainly don't smell anything. However, a Talmud Chacham, as Avtalion is telling us, has a tremendous power, because his words can spread this Mayim Royim, not just through a Nevela Srucha, a smelly carcass, which only has an effect a couple feet from this carcass, from this Nevela, but it could spread very, very, very far and cause tremendous damage. Therefore, appropriately, the Gemara is correct that the Talmud Chacham with no das is worse than even Nevela Srucha. With this same logic, the Pasuk says the opposite, that Tov Shem Shemen Tov. Better is a good name than good oil. What does one have to do with the other? Except for the fact that Shem and Shemen share the same two letters. But what is the connection between oil and a good name? So if you look at a candle in the middle of a city in a dark, pitch black room, you light that candle and it causes tremendous light. But how far does that light go? It goes perhaps a few feet, it lights up a room. But how about that next house where there's a blackout? It doesn't do anything for them. Because that light, that good oil, that Shemen Tov, only has a certain distance that it can have a positive effect. However, a Shem Tov, someone who has a good name, that's also something which has a tremendous power. The opposite of the Mayim Royim is the Shem Tov, that many people will talk about the goodness of an individual, and therefore, appropriately, Tov Shem Mishemen Tov. Now, what does this mean, that it's like water? Now, we know that Torah is water. As the Pasuk says, anyone who is thirsty, go on and drink water. So, what does it mean, Mayim Royim? It means people that give the perception that it's Torah, that it's value, that it's real, but in fact it's not. What's the significance about water? Now, Hashem did an incredible thing. Because the other day I walked into my refrigerator, opened it up in my kitchen, I pulled out some milk, and I poured it, and I almost passed out. Because it was moldy, it smelled terrible, and it was tremendous discoloration in this milk. Now, look at water. Water is tasteless, water is colorless, and it's odorless. It has no smell. All other liquids, all other foods, do give you this indication before you drink it. A great warning that it's not healthy for you to eat is mold. However, water does not create mold. And therefore, how will you know that the water you're drinking is poisonous? The only way you'll know it is after you've already drank the water and you're passed out, dying, lying on the floor. This is the issue of Mayim Royim. Because MS Torah, which is true, and Sheker, other philosophies which are not, they look the same. You could have a professor, you can have an individual, an intellectual, who's telling you that this is exactly the same thing. However, once you take that water, it could very well be the Sam Hamaves, poisonous, or it could be the real Torah, the real thing, Samachayim, the antidote, that which is real, that which is emes. The Tosfos Yom Tov continues and says, Chachamim, the Eina Kavana She'ein Shar B'nei Adam Muzharim B'kach. Says the Tosfos Yom Tov, it's not just talking about sages. Because the Mishnah in Perkei Avos and all Perkei Avos is not just talking at one group of people. But it's something which has meaning, something which should have value to everyone. Elo rather, says the Tosfos Yom Tov, Shem Yipul Savig B'divreihem Shel Chachamim Yavo Hashayimim L'chlal Taos Masha'en Kim B'divrei Hedyot Shin Mashkichin Al Devarav L'chein Hizir Yosei L'chachamim. The truth is, everyone has to be careful with their words. However, the Chachamim, the rabbis who have a public forum where people come and hear their lectures, come and hear their sermons on Shabbat, those people have a greater, broader audience. And therefore they have to be even more careful. But certainly, says the Tosfos Yom Tov, we all have to be cautious. We all have to be very careful with what we say and make sure that what we say can be backed up. Rashi tells us, what does it mean, v'siglu amakom mayim haroyim, that you'll be exiled to bad waters? Says Rashi, l'makom acher, another place, she'ein sham talmidim hagunim, where there are no good students, where people are not appropriate in their Torah, v'tulamdu lehem, u'kshiyaksulim kumchem, yishto talmidim haboyim achreichem. They will misinterpret your words, and they in turn will explain the wrong explanations to your students. V'yilmdu mikem lahatir davar shel isur, and they will learn and think they're doing something permissible, but in fact they are not. V'yavoli dechi of misa, and very possible a terrible punishment will occur, and they will die because of this mistake of listening to people who are Talmidim, who are students, who are not Hagun, who are not proper. Says the Mishnah, V'nimsa shem shemayim ischalel, al yadechem, they will end up causing a terrible chilul Hashem. Why? L'fi shakol yomer, because everyone will look at your students and they'll say, I don't get it. Reisim halol b'nei adam, shehoyu talmidim hagunim, look at this man who has such great students. He, I thought, was a great rabbi. What happened to his students? Umeisu b'chatzi yameihem, they died half of their life. They died at such a young age. And the Torah did not protect them. But I thought it says in Mishle, Ki orech yomim shnos chayim, and it says in Devarim, Ki hu chayach v'rachimecha, and again in Mishle, as we put away the Torah, Eitz chayim hilam achazikim ba, it's a tree of life for those who embrace it. So what happened? People will end up turning away from Yiddishkeit, saying that it's not true. Torah is not arichas yomim. It doesn't give a length of days. And therefore, because of this, a chil Hashem, a terrible, terrible desecration of Hashem's name will be caused, because your students will listen to someone else who misinterpreted your words. And therefore, because of this, a terrible chil Hashem will occur. We find this episode as well, this concept of how Hashem is so concerned of a chil Hashem, of what other people will think. In Sefer Shmuel, Torah tells us, in Nach, it says that Shmuel was a zaken. Shmuel got old. And the Mefarshim ask, what do you mean he got old? We know when Shmuel died, he was only 52 years old. And when it mentioned that he was a zaken, he wasn't even 50. He was perhaps 49. Maybe he was 50 years old. But who would call that a zaken? Who would say that that's an elder? So they explain, based on the Gemara in Tainus, that Shmuel saw that Shaul made a mistake. Shaul, who was the first king for the Jewish people, that Shmuel himself anointed as king, he turned to Hashem and said, I do not want you to punish this king. I do not want Shaul to die. Why? Because look at what happened to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe unfortunately did not go to Israel. However, at least
he receives some level of nechama of being consoled and comfort, seeing Yoshua, his student, taking over this position. And Moshe died seeing Yoshua in this very powerful position. Shmuel said, you know, how could it be that you would let me live through this terrible experience of having to see this great man Shaul die in my lifetime? So Hashem thought about it and said, you know, I can't kill Shmuel, which seems to be the most logical thing, because after all, if Shmuel doesn't want me to kill Shaul in his lifetime, I have to kill Shaul. But to do that, before I take away his life, he's requiring for me to take his own life, to take Shmuel's life. But I can't do that. The Gemara says, why can't Hashem just take away the life of Shmuel? What's the big deal? It says, because he's young. And what will people say? People will say, where is the Eitz Chaim He? Where is Ki Hu Chayecha Baruch Yamecha? Where is Ki Aruch Yamim L'Shnos Chayim? How could you allow Shmuel to die? It must be Shmuel made a mistake. Shmuel deserved to die, which he certainly did not. And what a terrible Chil Hashem that would have caused. Because of this, Hashem had only one other Eitzah, one other piece of advice, and that was to make Shmuel look older. And although he was a younger man, Hashem gave him the impression, everyone the impression, before there was driver's license and birth certificates, knowing the real age of a person, he made Shmuel look very old. Which is interesting, the other only person that we know that was made old, found in a Gemara, was Reb Elezer ben Azariah, who at 18 also grew old, who they explain with Shmuel's 52 and his 18 is the 70 years. Because some explain Reb Elezer ben Azariah was in fact the Gilgal, was the reincarnation of Shmuel, of Samuel. But the point that Rashi is teaching us is how far we have to go from Echil Hashem, desecrating Hashem's name. That if people would see your students die, they would say, why would they die? It must be the Torah is not true. The Torah is not an Arich HaShomim. It's not a length of days. And therefore, you have to be so careful with what you say, especially to mixed audiences. You must know your audience, because if you do not know your audience, they will misinterpret your words. Say them over to your Talmidim. They will follow what they've heard, and they'll end up causing a terrible, terrible, terrible downfall for the Jewish people. The Rambam tells us what's so important about this particular Mishnah. Mayim haroyim, Maimonides says, kinui apikorsus. Bad waters is referring to someone who's an apikorus. The Omer, when he says, hishamid evreichem betoch hamon, be very careful, know your audience, who you're speaking to. V'liya b'divreichem mokam shiyisvul perish acher. Don't let your words have a different meaning that can be misconstrued, that people who hear what they want to hear will misinterpret your words. Nivneshim yusham anashim kofrim. Because if among your audience are people who deny the Torah, what will they do? Now, Talmidim kvar shamu osmehem, your students will hear their words, which they'll say in your name. The Yaxer Lapikorsus, it'll end up causing tremendous downfall for your students. The Yaxivu Hazos Hoysem Munaschem, they'll think that it's Taurus Emes, but it's really Apikorsus, it's really Maim Royim. The Yehbez Echil Hashem, a terrible desecration of Hashem's name will occur. And the Rambam concludes saying the same words as the Tosus Yom Tov. Kasher Eral L'an Tigonus Im Tzadok Ubaitos. Who were Tzadok and Baitos? So the third Mishnah in Perkei Avos was a quote of Antigonus. That Antigonus, the Socho, said, do not serve Hashem al menas l'kabel pras, for the purposes of receiving a reward. Which that means that when a person does a mitzvah, you shouldn't do the mitzvah in order you should get the reward. That's the act of a child. A child will behave in class because they know that they're going to get stickers. They know that they're going to get some candy. However, an adult should understand that the purpose of education is not so you can get a reward, but it's for the sake of the education alone has value. So too when it comes to the mitzvos. Certainly there is sechar. Certainly there is reward. Antigonus is not telling us that there isn't reward, but that's not the focal point. That's not why you should serve. As we mentioned before, so many people, certainly in the position of chinuch and education, they only work for a paycheck. And you see clearly that those are the people that do not have the passion, the dedication to go the extra mile to really do what is necessary for a child to have atzlacha, to succeed in our school systems. Unfortunately, Tzadok and Baitos misunderstood what Antigonus said. They heard the words that you should not serve Hashem, al menasa kabel pras. They thought that meant that there is no sechar, there is no reward. So said Tzadok and Baitos, so why am I doing all this? I'm doing it for no benefit, for no reason. And they went off the derech. And Tzadok ended up becoming one of the Tzadukim, one of the Sadducees, who only believed in Torah Shebichsav, the written Torah, but denied the traditions of the Chachamim of Torah Shebaal Peh. Says the Rambam that this Mishnah of Avtalion is a warning back to the Mishnah Gimel of Antigonus, how careful you have to be. Make sure that your words do not have a perish acher, another possible interpretation. Be very careful as an orator to make sure what you say is very clear so that you're not giving a different message to your audience. And unfortunately, a terrible tragedy like that of Tzadok and Baitos could reoccur. In conclusion, I'd like to share with you a beautiful concept, a beautiful thought brought down by Rav Irving Bunim. We know that when it comes to the mitzvos, we do not find, except for in a few exceptions, the actual reward for doing that mitzvah. And the question is, why isn't that the case? Why don't we have in the Torah the reasons for the mitzvos and the rewards for those mitzvos? Says Irving Bonim that the problem is that if it would be a mitzvah which would have the reason for it, a person perhaps will make a huge mistake. And I'd like to share with you what happened when I was in Miami in yeshiva. In yeshiva in Miami and many other yeshivas, on a Thursday night they have something which is called Mishmar, which basically is an excuse for the students, the Bachram, to stay up late and learn Torah and eat lots of junk food. And we went on a rotation, and all the different Bachram would give a couple dollars, and one of the boys would go to the supermarket, to Publix in Miami, to buy all the food. And it was my turn. And I was in line with all the different candies, and the pretzels, the potato chips, lots of carbonated soda, a lot of caffeine. And I was standing in line with all this junk food. And, of course, I was dressed like a yeshiva boy with my dark pants, white shirt, and kippah. And a man tapped me on the shoulder and said, I can't believe what you're doing. I said, what am I doing? Because you're clearly a religious man, and you buy non-kosher food in front of everyone in this supermarket. So what are you talking about? He goes, look, this is all non-kosher. I said, oh. And let me explain to you. You see these little symbols with a little circle, a little letter inside of it, a U inside of it, a K inside of it. That means it's kosher. And then he raised his voice and he turned to me and says, it can't be kosher. I said, why not? I said, because it's not healthy. Unfortunately, that's what a lot of people think. A lot of people look at kosher and say, why do we keep kosher? Because it's healthy. So that's the logic. Why can't I go into a health food store and eat complete treif? Of course you can't. Because although, of course, some kosher food is healthy, that doesn't make it kosher, and that doesn't make it non-kosher. Says of Irving Bonin, if it would say the reason for the mitzvah of kashrus, then a person would only eat foods which are healthy, and they would think that's kosher. even though they're not eating kosher. The same thing we can understand with regard to Shabbos. We can use your own interpretation to think, what is work? Work, I'll tell you what work is. You have one guy who, when there's no Erev, has a little tissue in their pocket, and they walk outside. And you have another person who has this huge couch, and for some reason, they enjoy moving it from their living room back to their dining room, back and forth, back and forth. So which person is working? So a person who does not know the laws of Shabbos will say, what are you talking about? The person who's breaking a tremendous sweat, beads of sweat going down his head, going down his face, moving this very heavy couch, all this furniture, he's working. The other guy, he's just walking outside. He's not lifting anything. He has a tissue in his pocket just in case his nose runs. He's not working, but we know in halacha it's the opposite. The person who's carrying, that's an iser hotzah. The other person is inside, and he's moving certain things around. He hasn't violated one of the lamentes melachos. Says Rav Irving Bonim that you have to be very careful, chachomim. His harab b'divreichem, be careful with what your words are. And the Torah is very careful with its words, because if it says too much, if it's megal, if it reveals too much, it will end up, people will have a different interpretation of what is halacha, what is the mitzvah, what is permissible, and what is prohibited. We know this is so by the famous king, a famous king that made this very mistake, Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech, unfortunately being a king, was tremendously deprived, because the Torah says that he's only allowed to have a certain amount of wives, only 18. I don't know what he does with himself, what a shame, only 18 wives. Shlomo HaMelech said, I know the reason, it's because if I have too many wives, they'll go off the derech, they'll be over to the Zara, they'll worship idols. Better for all those people that are not so religious, are not so dedicated, that they should adhere to such laws. But for me, I'm the great tzaddik, I'm a person who has complete control, I'm someone that's able to make sure that this would never happen. And therefore he married many, many wives. And as we know, the story unfolds, that they went off the derech, they themselves worshipped idols, and therefore we learn out the message of from Shlomo HaMelech, that Irving Bonim tells us, that this is what Avtalion is teaching us. Be careful with your words. Make sure not to say too much, and make sure not to always attach a reason for the things that you do or for the mitzvos. Because if you will do this, then chas v'shalom, shema techovel chovos galus, then possibly because of your terrible words, what you said, you may incur the penalty of exile, and it'll turn out because of this. V'siglo makam mayim royim. And God forbid, consequently, the name of heaven will be desecrated.